Rediscovering Richmond is made possible by Historic Richmond Foundation, working to promote, protect, and preserve Richmond's architectural history with the goal of economic progress and cultural enrichment. Online at historicrichmond.com.
Brooke Smith has been rediscovering the places and spaces of Richmond history. And today, Brooks, I understand you want to talk about the historic Theater Row.
That's right. In past years, we've talked about some of the gems that are still among us, like the Empire and the National and the Lowe's Theater, now part of Center Stage. And today I was hoping to talk about the ones that have fallen, the shadows of the past.
Richmond really has a rich theater history going back to the beginning.
We do, and I credit a WPA project in the 30s for the earliest roots of theater in our area, but here are some facts to play out how far back we go. The first play recorded in the country was in 1665 in Accomack County on the Eastern Shore. First playhouse was built in 1716 in Williamsburg, and the first fully equipped playhouse arrived in Richmond in 1786. It's the very same theater that's famous for at least two reasons. First, Poe's mother performed there, and anything to do with Poe is something to claim in Richmond. And second, it was the scene of that horribly devastating fire on December 26, 1811 that took the lives of the governor and 71 others in the scene of current Monumental Church, a permanent tribute to those lost souls. There's another pre-war theater of note, the Marshall, that was built in 1818 at 7th and Broad, and its historical claim is that Junius Brutus Booth made his first American appearance there in 1821 as Richard III, and Junius was the father of the infamous John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, and Edwin Booth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and then in the late 1800s, there was a real proliferation of performing arts venues in the city. Of course, this was before movies and, of course, before radio and television. So stage performances were the main outlet for people to see live performances.
That's right. We were really on the map, part of an East Coast performance circuit from New York to Philadelphia to Baltimore, D.C., and then to Richmond. And perhaps our finest and most prominent theater was known as the Academy of Music at 8th between Grace and Franklin. It was an old-style opera house that had been refurbished in the late 1800s, and it was the scene of a number of very fine stage performances, even some pre-Broadway debuts. This is fun. It's an augur of things to come and also of the end of those old theaters. In 1897, the Academy was the scene of the first cineograph showing. The claim in the paper was that it was indisputably the greatest of all moving picture inventions.
Then in the early 1900s, there was further growth as gradually some of the legitimate theaters were converted into movie theaters as movies became so popular all over the country. Tell us about that era.
Well, we definitely experienced explosive growth in theaters in the early 20th century. At 1900, we had just about four prominent theaters, the Academy, the Bijou, the Lyceum, and the Theater Comique. Within the next 15 years, we grew another 34 theaters all across the city, many on Broad, around the corner in the neighborhood of Jackson Ward, over on Hull Street. And it's amazing to think that Broad Street at that time was just littered with theaters, block by block by block. And just to give you a flavor, we had the Rex on 5th and the Lubin on 7th and the Gem on 2nd and the Colonial on 7th and the Orient on 3rd. And perhaps my favorite, the Bluebird on 6th, which had a marquee that when lighted made the wings of the bird flap.
You were mentioning that there was an unlikely stage performer who appeared in Richmond. What was it, about 1911?
Could be my favorite moment in time. A while back, we explored Houdini at the Bijou, but this might even beat that. Baseball superstar Ty Cobb appeared at the Richmond Academy of Music in 1911 as a varsity football player in the comedy called The College Widow.
He was probably just about at the peak of his baseball career at that time, or just on the verge of it.
I think the Richmond audience sent him right back to the diamond, too. He wasn't a very good actor.
Right. And then the demise of vaudeville with the rise of movies and radio and television and so forth. And so many of these fine old theaters were shuttered or converted to other uses. And now downtown, there's just a few of the original buildings standing, but probably not in their original form.
You can definitely see the arc of the life of these theaters over the 20th century. You had talkies emerge on the scene in 1928, followed soon thereafter by color, and movies really took the fore until shortly after the Second World War, based on a Supreme Court decision that divorced theaters and studios. And that was the beginning of the end. By the 70s, we had the advent of these suburban movieplexes, and the downtown theaters lost customers and at some point had to be converted to new uses. Thankfully, we have some beautiful gems still among us, but nothing like what we had at the turn of the 20th century.
All right, our time's just about gone for today, so thanks to Brooke Smith, Rediscovering Richmond.